Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WAMS and Blog Talk Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Burke Allen, and today we head to Africa. Cameroon in Africa specifically, and that's where our guest hails from, Ms. Esther Lamyon, who is the author of the brand new book, Love Under the Kuala Nut Tree, What City Moms Didn't Tell You About Creating Fulfilling Relationships. And Esther joins us today on WAMS Radio. Hi, Esther, how are you?
Hi, Burke. Thank you. I'm great. How are you today?
Fantastic, and thanks very much for being a part of our show. Your new book, Love Under the Kuala Nut Tree, What City Moms Didn't Tell You About Creating Fulfilling Relationships, available, of course, at Amazon.com, Author House, and at bookstores everywhere. This book really blends spirituality and romance and mysticism all together. It's like a very rich textural stew, and I think a lot of that must come from your background. Tell us about you. You grew up in Cameroon, is that right?
Correct. I grew up in Cameroon. I grew up in Cameroon, and I came to America in 1984 to go to school. So that background of growing up in Africa really influenced me, my life here in America, and also in writing the book and being able to put it together so completely.
Now tell me about, for our listeners in the United States who may not be familiar with Cameroon, tell me about what your childhood was like there. Were you in a small tribal village? Were you in a large metropolitan area? What was it like growing up there?
I grew up in I was in the village for a little while, just for like my first 5 years, but I moved into the city. Cameroon is what we call Africa in miniature, because all the climatic and the cultural differences that you have in Africa, you can have it in Cameroon. So while I grew up in the city, I moved from city to city. So I learned different cultures. They have different, more than 200 different tribes. And with those different tribes, you have the different cultures, the different clothing, the different food, and the different dialects. The official language in Cameroon is English and French, but you have the dialects, and then you have Pidgin English. So all of that really influenced me in my education and in my ability to work with different people, especially when I moved here. When I came to America, I was in Atlanta. So when I moved here to Washington metro area, it was like a little United Nations. So having lived in a culture that had so many different people together, different cultures together, it was easier for me to blend in.
Our guest today is Esther Lamyon, and the book is Love Under the Kuala Nut Tree. If you'd like to talk with Esther, the telephone number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. It's a free call in the New York City metropolitan area, and you can send your chat questions in on our online chat here at WAMS Radio as well, and thanks to everyone listening live as well as the folks who are listening to the podcast afterwards. Esther, you know, Africa is such an enormous continent, and there you have, as you mentioned, all the different weather systems, and you have, you know, wonderful wildlife, and you have safaris, and, of course, there is the other, the dark side of some of the countries in Africa, the horrible political strife, the crushing poverty in some countries. Did you experience any of those kinds of things as a child growing up in Cameroon?
Certainly. When I grew up in Cameroon, mind you, I've been here 24 years since I came in 1984. But growing up, I did experience a lot of differences. But being a child and growing up in a family where I was loved and cared for and we had a lot of play friends, I personally did not realize what was really happening until I became a little bit older. So there are misconceptions about Africa, and also there are a lot of truths about Africa. So when I came here, I started finding out things about Cameroon and Africa that I did not know growing back there at the time, because I was in school and I was sheltered, and I did not, you know, we didn't have television at the time when I was there. So we're not very, very exposed to the world. We had radio. Radio is very big, and it's still very big, even though they have the television right now. It's still very big, radio. So we were exposed to the world, and we read a lot. A lot of some of the things that influenced my childhood was reading. We read a lot. School was very competitive. We had a lot of play time in school. We had a lot of structured activities and a lot of discipline. So those really influenced me. But coming here, there were misconceptions about how people live in Africa. I came here, and people were surprised I could speak English.
Uh-huh.
We were colonized by the Portuguese, the Germans, the British, and the French. So Cameroon ended up with two colonial masters, the French and the British. So Cameroon really has two cultures. We have two. The constitution is both in English and in French. So when you go to school, you have to learn both languages and be very fluent in them. And we have the British way of English. So when I came here, people were surprised that I could speak English or write English. Another misconception was that we live on trees. You know, so that was very interesting. At first, I thought that my coworkers. I was in Atlanta at the time. I went to school in Atlanta. I thought they were joking. Then I realized they were telling the truth. So I made a joke, and I told them the American embassy is on the tallest tree as an honor, and they were very happy about that. You know, so it was just interesting to find out that the other misconception is that people, we live in the forest, there are animals on the streets. I never really saw animals on the street except dogs, you know, pets.
Sure.
Yeah, so those are things you just grow, and you eventually realize it's really a matter of exposure and the information they have, just like I'm sure back in Africa and other countries, there are also misconceptions about Africa, about America and about other countries. But with time, when people become educated or have friends and family and travel, then they realize that this is not really true.
Was it a dream of yours as a young person growing up in Cameroon to get an American education and to come to the United States, or what is it that brought you here?
For me, it was really education. Cameroon has very good schools. Africa, the education system in Cameroon, and the English part of Cameroon when I started school, even though I ended up going to school in both the French and English part, but I started in the English part, and the education is very structured, very disciplined. I mean, when I came here and I was studying, things I was studying here for a degree program, I had already done them in boarding school and in high school, so my grades were, like, excellent, you know. So,
sure.
But so coming here was really for education. I had no intention at the time when I left Cameroon to stay here because we had a very good country at the time, and it was prosperous. It's very rich agriculturally. It has a lot of natural reserves. It has a lot of beauty. So education was a key for me, and the thing in Cameroon at the time and a little bit now is that we have a lot of secondary schools. Secondary schools are what you call middle school here. You go to school first to seventh grade, and then from eighth grade through like 12th grade, you go to what we call secondary school or college. And after that, you have high school, and then you go to the universities. And at the university level at the time, there were very limited universities. So at that time, with a limited number of universities, if you had 10,000 students and you had only opportunities for 2,000 students in school, even if all of you made A grade, you couldn't get admission. So I really wanted to come to America to study, to, you know, continue what I really dreamed of, which was education, because for us, education is the key to us to open doors to so many things in life. So that's how I ended up coming here, choosing America. I mean, it was English-speaking country. A lot of Cameroonians went to Britain and to France and Germany,
right.
But I preferred America because of the culture and the language.
And now that you are in the nation's capital, in Washington, D.C., and you work as a consultant for a federal agency, as you mentioned, you know, this is a very, Washington, D.C., a very multicultural area. Is there a community of other natives from Cameroon here that you continue to meet with and talk with about your home country?
Certainly. There are so many communities because the country is so large, like I said, and it has so many different tribes. You have the Bamuns, the Tikaris, the Bakweris, you know, there are just so many different tribes. So when they come here, of course, they have cultural activities, and they want to foster that culture and talk about helping other people back in Africa and Cameroon in particular. So you have those groups. And then you also have Alma Maters, because we went to boarding school and mission schools, Christian schools. Those form very tight bonds. And as you come to America, they still have the alma mater for certain schools, and they meet regularly so that they can help the schools back home and just foster education back home and here with their own children. So the community is large, and we get involved. And every year, they have a huge cultural activity, and it's very rich. It takes place in Maryland, and they have different traditional dances, fashion shows, the food. The food is so rich because there are so many different tribes. Like I said, more than 200 tribes in Cameroon. You have food. I mean, the country is very blessed. It has volcanic soil, and so you have a lot of fruits and a lot of dresses. The dressing is very different. The dance is very different with each tribe. So when you have a cultural activity, it is really, really very exciting.
Esther Lemyon is our guest today on WAMS Radio, and we're talking about her background as a native of Cameroon. Of course, she lives in Washington, D.C. now, and she's the author of a new book called Love Under the Kuala Nut Tree, What City Moms Didn't Tell You About Creating Fulfilling Relationships. And you can click on the link right here at WAMS Radio and purchase that book through Amazon.com. Let's talk about the book. Esther, can you give our listeners a brief overview of what the book is all about?
Okay. The book, the way the book starts, there's a couple, an African-American couple, a very rich couple that lives in Bethesda, Maryland. And the book starts where their five-year-old son has been hit by a car. He was playing soccer in the yard, and he gets taken to a hospital. And the father gets in the ambulance with him to get to the hospital, and the mother couldn't get in the ambulance. She gets to the hospital with the neighbor in the car. And at the hospital, the father finds out that the son is not his son. The doctor on duty, Dr. Morgan, was born in Africa as a kid. His father was a missionary. So he's eccentric, he's very serious, but he's also very playful, but he's very careful when it comes to certain things like blood. So even though the father was there, he still tested the blood to make sure. And that's when he discovers the father is not the father of the little Micah who got hit by a car. But the father doesn't know this, and from the way the father is behaving, the doctor realizes this man does not know it. This is not his son. So that sets the stage, and eventually it gets revealed that he is not the father of this boy, and it causes a lot of trouble. Eventually, the couple goes for counseling, they go for therapy, they talk to their pastor, and when the woman thinks that everything has been fixed and they're going to have a good marriage now, the man walks out on her, and she's really like broadsided. She wasn't expecting this. Coincidentally, they had an African queen, Maya Sophia, visiting America, and she got bored. So she was babysitting the kid. And that's when she steps in, and she asks them, do you need help to build this relationship up? She doesn't offer them help. She asks them if they want help. They need to tell her. She doesn't want to expend her energy. And that's a spiritual concept. You don't just offer people things. Most of the time when you do, they don't realize they have to ask, and if they're asking, then it really means a lot for them to admit that they need help and what they did wrong. So that's how come Maya Sophia, the queen, steps in to help them. And the lady telling the story, Maya Sophia is her aunt visiting her. So she herself has to go through a lot to adjust to a queen staying with her. And Maria in the process learns a lot because she grew up in Africa, but she never really grew up in the village. So
right.
She wasn't, you know, privileged of some of the, you know, cultural information and wealth of wisdom that Maya Sophia ends up teaching them. But Maya Sophia doesn't just teach James Walker, whose son was hit by a car, and Maria, but their friends. They had a group of friends in the Washington metro area, like a lot of singles and single mothers and single gentlemen today in this metro area in America who are going through a lot of relationship issues. And they don't know how to resolve it, or they don't understand why they're having those issues. Even though they're very rich, they have everything. And even some when they get married, like this couple that is very rich, because Mr. Walker is an economist and he owns his own corporation, but he still can't hold a relationship. So that's when she steps in and starts teaching them the rules of nature, the rules of the universe that cannot be plea-bargained or manipulated. And she teaches them that if you marry by man-made rules and you live by man-made rules, those man-made rules can be broken, they can be manipulated, they can be bribed, they can be loopholed. But if you understand the laws of nature, you will be able to form more fulfilling relationships. And even if you do get a divorce or breakup, it wouldn't be so malicious. So that's the whole premise of the book. It's really a self-help book that I put in a drama and relationship way, because that is what everybody in society goes through. Today, we wake up in the morning, we say our prayers, you know, we eat breakfast, we exercise. So you have the marriage of the spiritual and the physical. At every moment of the day, you are in traffic, you may say a prayer, or you may get upset with the person next, you know, who cut you in traffic.
Sure.
So most books today, they are either purely spiritual books or religious books, or they talk about love and drama. And those who are reading a lot of dramatic novels, they're still having relationship issues. You would think we've read all these books, we should be able to hold relationships. And then those who are reading spiritual and religious books, they're still having relationship issues. So the premise of this book for me is that we are spiritual beings in a physical body, and we need to be mindful of our spiritual selves if we are to build fulfilling relationships. We are mindful of the physical. We exercise, we play, we eat, we sleep, we make love. But the physical is being taken care of, but the spiritual is not being taken care of. And that's where we need to focus to balance, you know, relationships.
Esther Lamyam is our guest, and her new book is Love Under the Qualinut Tree, What City Moms Didn't Tell You About Creating Fulfilling Relationships. And if it sounds interesting to you, you can click on the picture of the book jacket below and order directly from Amazon.com. Esther, you touch on some pretty difficult themes in the book, as we just talked about. There's this car accident with a young boy who's 5 years old, and of course I have a 3.5-year-old, and that really hit home for me. You talk about infidelity, these marital difficulties. How many of these experiences were real-life experiences for you or people you knew?
Both of the experiences are real, not with people I know directly. I don't know anybody whose 5-year-old son has been hit by a car, but I know friends who have, you know. Let me back up a little. I'm an iridologist also. I'm an iridologist and I'm an herbalist. Iridology is the study of the iris of the eye, where if you look in somebody's eye, you can see their health, you know, strength and weaknesses, their constitutional strength and weaknesses, because it's believed by iridologists that every part of your body gets mapped out in your eye, your circulatory system, digestive system, and if there's trouble in any area, you can see that. So when I work with people, I can help them with nutrition, you know, and exercise and sleep therapy and water therapy. And in the course of working with a lot of people, I began to realize that they were having stress and other problems in their life that was causing all these issues that they were having in their health.
Okay.
And that's how come eventually it led me to counseling people. And that's one of the bases that really helped me to write this book, just dealing with people that every day have issues that if they change their mindset, if they change the way they look at life, if they, you know, let go, if they just stayed a little quiet or took time out. So it's not based on anybody I know per se, but it's based on real life, because people have read this book and they have called me and said, I'm going through the same thing this person went through. Even while I was writing the book, people was like, oh, I'm, you know, tell me a story that is so similar to what is in the book. And I'll be like, okay, I hope they don't think this is their story. But
sure.
I felt like I was really channeling this book. Things that are very close to reality is the fact that I, the writer, the lady telling the story, Maria, she's from Africa, and I'm from Africa. So that really helped me use my village and experiences back there to write the book. So a lot of the things that happen in the village as regards spirituality and counseling, those are true. The spiritual messages are true. The self-help is true. But the individual experiences, some of Maria's experiences are true, but to take a dramatic license I had to do that to expand on it. So because this book is not for me, it's for, you know, humanity. So I had to expand on that so everybody can, you know, relate to it and really experience what is happening and become part of the story like I became part of the story.
The author is Esther Lemian. The book is Love Under the Qualinut Tree, What City Moms Don't Tell You About Creating Fulfilling Relationships. The book is available now. And we're talking with Esther about what is real life and what is fiction in this book. And you'd mentioned a term that I wasn't familiar with, Esther, an iridologist, is that right?
Correct.
And an iridologist and folks who follow that philosophy, you said, believe that just by looking into the iris of someone's eye, you can ascertain and then treat certain health problems. And I also saw in your information that you practice Reiki healing. Can you tell me a little about that?
Okay. Iridology or Reiki, or both?
Both.
Okay, great. Iridology is the analysis of the iris. The iris of your eye is the black part of your eye, the brown or the blue. Or some people might say they have green eyes.
Right.
That part of the eye, not the sclera, not the white part of the eye. There's a study for the sclera of the eye, but for iridology, it's just, you know, if you have blue eyes or you have brown eyes. And when you look in somebody's eyes, you can see their inherent constitutional strength and weaknesses that is in their body. And then you can tell them how to cope with life. This does not mean you're going to have an illness or you already have it. It just tells you what you are preconditioned to have. And sometimes as you grow older, you can see a lot of things that are already manifesting in the body. So with an iris analysis, you can see things that are happening before the symptoms actually come out. Things that by the time you get in the symptoms, they have already taken root in your eye. You can see potential for health problems and how to avoid them. You can see where your body is likely to break down under stress. And when you know the weak links in your body, then you know exactly what to do to protect yourself and how you can live a long and healthy life. So basically, the eye is like a clock. So at the 12 o'clock position, you know, you have certain markings there that relate to certain areas of your body. The 6 o'clock position relates to certain areas of your body. You can see your lungs, you can see your pancreas, the liver, the stomach, the colon, your brain area. So you see all those, each section zone corresponds to a certain organ or part of your body. So when you look at your eye and you see the markings in that area, a trained iridologist will be able to tell you if you have an acute problem, a degenerative problem, an inflammation, or the organ is weak. And iridology, we use herbs, we use food, you know, to help you regain your strength and get your balance back. And the Reiki is a healing methodology where you channel energy. Basically, you just put your hands on people, and basically people do their own healing, and you are just really a channel. You just kind of channel the energy to the area of the body that is hurting, and that helps them dispel all the blockages in that area, and they get well.
Fascinating. Esther Lemian is the author and also an iridologist and a Reiki healer. The book is Love Under the Qualinut Tree. You have a lot going on.
You
are a busy lady, and as well as consulting a federal agency in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. If you'd like to find out more about Esther and the book, do you have a website that you can refer people to?
Yeah, I have estherlamian.com. Just my name, E-S-T-H-E-R. L-A-M-N-Y-A-M, estherlamian.com. You can go to that website, and you can also go to authorhouse.com. The book is published currently with Author House. You can go to authorhouse.com, or you could find the book at amazon.com and other places where books are published.
Very good. In the book, Love Under the Qualinut Tree, you have this character that you mentioned, Maya Sophia, who's an African queen, and she has these psychic powers. And I have to ask you, because obviously you are a believer in alternative healing methods, do you believe that there are some people that actually have psychic powers? And if so, have you ever worked with or come across any of these folks in your life?
I believe people have psychic powers, and personally, I believe everybody has psychic powers. You know, I believe that sometimes you're driving down the street and you feel like you should change lanes, and you change lane, and maybe the person in front of you stops abruptly, or there's a traffic jam. So I believe all of us really have that awareness, and it becomes more evident when you have children, when you just realize they're in trouble, or they're about to fall down the steps, or you run into the bedroom and you catch them. So I it's just that I think some people make a choice to develop it more, to be more attuned to it, and then they become, it's just like anything that you are interested in. You pay more attention to it, you study it, and then you become better and better at it. So, yes, I do believe people have psychic powers. Personally, I haven't worked with psychics, but when I did research for this book, I went to Africa and I talked to people here, and I talked to somebody who is, he doesn't consider himself a psychic, but I did sit down and watch him work with people. So, yeah, I know people have, gifts to do certain things that not all of us do have.
And I think that your opinion that the folks just, everyone has it, but some folks sharpen that saw more than others, I think there's probably a lot of validity to that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, Esther, it is, as you said, a self-help book. It's also a romance novel, I guess, for some folks, a book on spirituality. When you think about this book, and in your heart of hearts, you think of it, though, as a self-help book with a story to tell, right?
Exactly. To me, it's a self-help book with a story to tell, because that was my goal. My goal was to, having been an iridologist, and coaching people and working with them and seeing the problems they were having, I was trying to find a way to help them. But I looked at a lot of books out there, which are great, great, great books out there. If people sometimes have a difficulty actually practicing what some books write. So what I did was take a romance, take life, just life, like all of us go through it every day. We argue, we fight, we make love, we have a drink, we study, we come to work. And then in all that we do every day, we have the spiritual aspect, because we are really spiritual beings in a physical body. So I took the daily aspect. So this book is a combination of drama, mysticism, religion, science, Christianity, philosophy, because like I said earlier, you wake up in the morning, you say a prayer, that's your spirituality. You go and eat, you feed the physical, you go to the gym, it's the physical, you know, you meditate, it's spiritual, and you take care of your family. So all that I took and put in one. In fact, my editor said to me, you've created a new genre, you know, because that is who we really are. We are spiritual beings in a physical body. And we pay so much attention to the physical that the physical has taken over, and we are not succeeding a lot. A lot of us, at least, are having a lot of relationship issues. So this book is meant to make us pay more attention to the 99%, which is the spiritual, which is what we really are. And those who do that, and me working with them, they have seen a marked, marked difference in their life and the lives of their family. So
and before we run out of time, mm-hmm. Esther, give me a couple of those relationship tips, the secrets to healthy relationships that you do unveil in this book. We've got about 60 seconds, so give me a couple of quick tips for folks who are having relationship challenges.
Well, first, you have to make a conscious choice. I want a fulfilling relationship, because what you think about and what is going to come, you know, manifest in your life, you have to let go. You have to build a foundation. Anything you do in life, be it a house or an office or business, there's a foundation that is laid, and that takes time. And in any relationship, at the beginning of it, you have to lay a solid foundation. Hurrying has led us to too many trouble. Words, you have to be mindful of the words. Words have power. Words are creative. Praise, you know, touch, the ability to be still, you know, which a lot of us really are having problems doing today, is causing us to have a lot of problems. They're very simple tips, very subtle, but they are very powerful, and that's the language of the universe: silence, dreams, thoughts, energy. Very subtle things that we need to start being attuned to. And if we bring those into our relationships and give people the space, give people time to think and chill, and then present problems to them and give them time to give us feedback, because we had took a long time to think about the problem, give the partner time to also think about it, or don't just hit them when they get home. Let them chill and detox. Just very simple tools. Nature has a lot of colors. The trees are green. Love is green. You know, the chakras, you know, for the heart is green. So the tools are there in nature. Triangles, you know, you build a triangle. The father is at the head. Everybody channels him energy. He brings it back. Cycles. We use cycles to solve problems. Once anything is discussed in a cycle, don't bring it out again. Don't talk about it. You heal in that cycle, and then you move out. Don't say you did this last week, you did this last year. And that is causing a lot of problems. So the old woman just uses tools that are in nature every day to let them begin to attune to it and to remember all these simple ways to build and create relationships.
Esther Lemian, thank you so much for being our guest today, and good luck with your book.
Thank you so much. My pleasure. Bye.